Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, February 14th, 2017. It's 9 a.m. Happy Valentine's Day. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a general discussion. We have item number one is role of liaison commissioner Morgan, who is not here. I believe she's in Salem. And then just general stuff. So Commissioner DeYoung is here.
I have a couple things. One of them is how long it takes to get things through. One of them came to mind, you know, I've been working on it too, I'm actually, and that's a road plug. They're not real significant. They don't raise up on the litmus chart as things, but they are holding people up. There's one gentleman I talked to, he's got a road plug out here off of Dick George, I believe, and he's had a request in to have that road plug removed for well over a year.
Yeah.
And part of that is he is a grower, but he has paid his $6,750 to the state last year, and he's got to pay it again this year, so he has no business. He can't proceed because his road plug hasn't been pulled. It went through Public Works, and I talked to Rob Brandis, and he said they get about six of these a year, and then they go to legal, and then I guess they go to planning after that. Or do they just go back, they're done at legal?
I don't know.
You don't know, neither do I. But
it depends on what
I know. It goes to legal, and I talked to Wally, and he said yes, that it's stuck in his system,
mm-hmm.
and that he would get that particular one out within by the end of this week, so the young man could proceed. But I know these things aren't very high on the chart of things to do. You know, especially with we're getting more calls for service out of legal, and you know, less time. We're running out of time there. But I know what we had a situation like that with our parks department over in the city, and we basically put a time limit on how long something would be in the gears. And we said, you know, if it can't be done in 30 days, then it's an automatic approval.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know if we wanted to, you know, sit down with legal and with Rob and where else do you go after maybe planning?
Yeah.
And say, what is a reasonable time frame to get these through?
Right.
And so that people that are in business can move on with their life, yay or nay. It's either an approval or a denial in 30 days, maybe it's 60 days, maybe it's whatever. But I think we need to identify how long it's going to take us to get things through. And but it's going to take the department head sitting down with the board to come up with something, a reasonable time frame. Like I say, this young man is on his second go-around with the state. He's got money invested, and he can't move forward. He can't get without the road plug gone. He can't get an address, and if he can't get an address, he can't get a transformer.
Sure.
He can't get infrastructure into his property so he can move forward with this project. So it does hold up an awful lot of stuff. So.
Yeah, and I don't like the idea of moving stuff through legal as like a squeaky wheel.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a very good long-term system.
You know, maybe we need to look at it. Is it a requirement to move it through legal? Maybe planning can do that. I don't know what legal role
it should be. Some sort of a standard process.
Right.
Because if we do six of these a year, it's like a lease at the airport or whatever.
Right.
Something we do.
And it should be water pipe.
We've got hundreds of these, not thousands, of street plugs out there that are just going to keep coming up.
Well, Rob seemed to think there was only like a half a dozen to, 8 to 10 a year.
Yeah, but I mean, they'll never end.
But it never ends.
Always.
It's something that's going to be. So maybe if we can say, what is legal's role? And is it something that planning can do? And, does it go from
yeah, like, what are they looking for? If that's there, then you need to whatever.
So, if we can. We may be able to just, if we look at it and say we could free that up from legal, maybe that would be a better way to do it. I would like to look at that entire process.
Okay.
And see if we can get that streamlined. So.
Well, I would, if you wanted to take that on.
I would do that, yeah.
That sounds great. Do you have anything you want to come up?
My whole purpose here is to provide what scant documentation exists for the liaison discussion. And
I'm not sure what it is because Morgan's not here.
Wait 5 minutes. Yeah, there we go.
I brought PDFs.
So, and then if I'm not trying to really talk, but if you want me to
you know, take down notes. If you want to produce a document out of this, then I'll be here to...
I think it's too early to tell.
Too early to tell, yeah. So.
Another thing, I'd like to sit down with both the chair and the vice chair. I guess individually, I don't know if we should do it at this same time. I discuss. Not like that. My goal for 2016-17 is 2017-18 is public perception.
Mm-hmm.
And I see some things that if I was sitting right there, I'd be so mad I'd just get up and walk out. You know, some things that we do at meetings that I don't think is appropriate. And I'd like to address that. But I think we can do that. I can just come and talk to you about it, and or I can't. So we need to do it.
Legally, yeah.
Okay. Well, my two concerns is number one, being late for meetings.
Yeah.
Because that's a demonstration. It's a way till Vice Chair Morgan sits down. When you are late for meeting, I'm just going to criticize here, but I'm constructive. And because I'm big on perception, when you walk in late to a meeting and you're not fully prepared to be at a meeting, the people that got here on time expect that of their elected officials. They expect us to be ready to receive their comment or give them information or whatever. And when we're late, it does not bode well. My son-in-law's dad has a big company. So I'm going to go to an automated phone system. I said, you do it, I'll never call you again. You know why? That human voice means something to the normal guy walking the street. It tells me that you think your time is more important than my time, and I reject that idea immediately. Another one is phones and meetings. So the other day we were having testimony, and
Cody,
you were on your phone,
yeah.
And you were on your phone, and I was the only one paying attention to the guy.
Yep.
And he looked over twice over you guys, and he just kind of rolled his eyes. That's that.
Yeah.
I know it's communication, and I know it's a form of communication, but before that phone, nothing was so important that it interrupted the meeting.
True.
And I've got two of them. I don't, you know, there's so many forms of communication that I'm lost in it. So I don't bring those because I'm a big person about crowding in front of somebody in line in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening here. And somebody else just took your attention away from the guy that took his time to come in here and testify. So those are just perception things for me, and that is my big goal is perception. Is how are we perceived as a body to the people who are sitting right there and the folks out here. So it's just two things that I would like that I wanted to bring up. I'm not the chair said I should bring it up here rather than just talk to you in private or talk to you in private.
Technically, any kind of correspondence between members of the board,
yeah.
We should do it as much as possible.
Okay, so those are the two things that I have. And if you can work on that, I would be truly grateful to both of you. Because you guys are in that techno age,
yeah.
But 90% of the people sitting right there are not. They come in here,
yep.
To testify, hear what we have to say, and that doesn't include when you're being interrupted. And he's sitting right there, and he looked at me and went, like, you know, what's up with this? I can't answer that.
Yeah.
So those are just things that I would like to see.
Well, I wouldn't mind addressing the first one, being punctual. We're not the first board to have to, you know, have that issue.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that's an issue in Klamath County. That's an issue in Clackamas County. I raised the question with Commissioner Haugen in the past. What do you do when previous commissioners, they're not on time very often? You start on time. He said you start every time.
Yeah.
Right on time.
But the perception is the meeting starts on time, which is, you know, common courtesy to the folks that got here by 9 o'clock, and that's the way it is. But their perception is hey, I got here.
Right.
And you should be ready to go for me as I'm ready to go for you. And it's just a perception thing, and it doesn't set well. It doesn't with me coming from the old school, you know. I'm late. Don't get me wrong. I was yesterday. I called twice because I'm coming down C Street. I'll be there in 3 minutes, but my appointment was here.
Yeah.
Then at least, you know, when they could go outside and say, you know, he's on his way. He'll be here in just 4 minutes. So that worked out really well. But
I think our schedules are so, mine is so challenging, you know. I don't know about your guys', but...
I spent the last hour talking to them.
There's going to be...
So, I mean, it's not that I... But I understand it's always something different.
There will always be something. So
absolutely. Yeah. But these are just things that, you know, from the perception side, I'd like us to work on that.
I agree.
I just want us to work on it, and I don't think we're ever going to be perfect at it, but I think we need to hit better than, you know, hit better than 100, you know, out of 1,000, so.
I'd say that there's less than 10 meetings that I've been, like, late to in 6 years of the board. I think it's really important to show up. Because there will always be stuff that comes up. The one about the cell phone, I have 7,000 unread emails right now in 6 years. And that's, I don't know that that's probably a lot of, I'm not proud of that. I think that my average is anywhere between 80 and 90 emails a day. And
But do you pick during a meeting to read them?
My challenge is if I don't do it at every chance I get, if the number isn't 7,000 and it's 10. And I miss real stuff. And so I apologize, especially, I know it's rude. Mine is, I could give Colleen's report on her own. I could give Larry's report. I have to balance the, like, and I try to be as engaged as absolutely possible and multitasking.
We've been doing this a long time.
This is not my first rodeo.
It's new to me. Yeah. And it, you know, it's
I think that when Larry's giving his report, when Colleen's giving his report to you guys, you haven't heard it before.
I have heard that same report.
Okay.
Twice already, and in here even already. So I was going to ask, are the quarterly reports always the same information?
From Colleen or
no?
From
well, Colleen, we just met with Colleen. We just did our recog.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's one of those things that we've worked with her for the last
couple of years.
She took over, but she was working there before Ron Fox retired too. So her information isn't necessarily new.
Yeah.
But with Larry,
yeah,
there wasn't anything new that he presented the other day, other than he got those five potential awards, which he'd already emailed about. So there, you know, it's one of those things that it makes me wonder.
I think his is quarterly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of why I wanted to have the discussion today about liaison roles. Is it the liaisons that report back on our meetings that we're going to every month and every week on our departments about what's going on and keep us updated, or do we keep quiet and wait for the department head to come and give that presentation? Because, like I said, there was nothing that Larry said the other day that was new information. From his last quarterly report, where I wasn't in office yet, but I was here because I was attending the meetings, it was the exact same information. And he had physically given it to me in that previous meeting, and then, of course, his liaison, I've gotten some other reports, so I didn't mean any disrespect to him. Mm-hmm. But it's, at the same time, what is the most efficient use of our time, or what is the role of liaison? Is it for us to update each other, or do we have the department heads update what they do?
Can we do, you know, we did this a couple times at the city, you know, if your liaison do something and you say, you know, in my travels with RV Act, I think you need to come and talk to the full board.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put it on the schedule?
That could work, or I'd rather have, I mean, if even for that, I'd rather have you give us, what did you learn at the last RV Act meeting that we need to know about?
Right.
That's what it is. It's not a substitute for the liaisons, for the managers, but if there's something you learned at the last Merlin airport meeting, let us know.
Yeah.
What that is. Not waiting for a quarterly report. If I hear it, you know, some other means and we had an opportunity to exchange, that's not serving the board well, in my opinion, if we hear about it in the newspaper or something. Why didn't I hear about this at, you know, the updates opportunity? It's really varied the whole gamut. The last board didn't provide updates ever on anything. The previous board, we went over everything, you know, about what was going on. We haven't had a strategy meeting about this legislative cycle. I don't know what bills are of interest to you guys, what you're tracking on, what you're not. I've got an interest in signing a letter just asking our state delegation to petition the PUC for a study on really the press release that I read from Pacific Power didn't address some of the concerns and issues that I thought are out there. This tiered rate structure, they didn't mention that at all. The longer the averaging of people's bills in a neighborhood or something like that, none of that stuff was addressed. And I felt it was a real, go forth and just pay your bill, people. We don't want to hear from you. And that's not answering my questions. It's not answering their questions. And so, but
no offense, if someone's got an illegal marijuana grow in their house, it's going to, you know, spike a neighborhood.
Sure.
Which, how come that neighborhood seeing the average? You know, it's one of those things that it's. But that's a separate issue. I think that's a great idea. I think that's mostly that. If we don't have those discussions here about our strategy, about our roles, about we as a board, it's kind of a continuation of the goals,
mm-hmm.
but it's also it's the daily operations goals and strategy of sorts. When we represent one third of an administrator, what does that mean? And
what do you mean by that?
Well, I guess for me, if we don't have a chance to talk about our roles as liaisons, our roles as administrators, our roles as policy setters, our roles as advocates, if we're not talking about it here, we're all just kind of blindly doing our own thing. And I would rather see us talk about it so that we have intention behind it, so
sure.
that we make sure that we're consistent in how we're approaching things. And if we don't talk about it, how do we know that we're not meeting an expectation? It kind of gets back to that. You said perception. For me, it's expectation. If we don't know what our expectations are in those roles. And so...
I think it's important that all three of us be on the same page, because coming from a family, I've had kids that go to mom first, and if they didn't get it with mom, they go to dad next, and they separate, divide, and conquer.
Yeah.
And you know, from a family standpoint, you know, every once in a while, family, I go, you kids just zip it up. Mom, in the bedroom, I want to talk to you. Close the door. Say, what do you think of this? What did you hear about this?
Yeah.
I didn't like being blindsided. She didn't like being blindsided. You know, we were a team. And there were times that I scolded my kids, and my wife would say, I need to talk to you. She never said anything in front of the kids to divide us. We'd go in, and then I would come back out, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Done deal.
Yeah.
But her and I were always on the same page, because we had to be, because those kids, one kid can surround two parents and absolutely rip it apart. So I think, you know, going from here, I think all three of us are keeping that communication open in the open discussions. I think you see something that's coming up. Even if it doesn't, you think, it doesn't matter to go to commissioners, it may. Just, you know, maybe we have a list or a memo that goes throughout.
Harold would always say that things would go really smooth when there was plenty of resources. It's when stuff is tough, it's tight, that things are going to go challenging. I've been in conversations with Wally about a strategy with our district attorney and his relationship to the state relative to the county. I think that's important that I say that out loud, that you too understand that that's something I've asked legal counsel to explore. And it's kind of been something in the back of my mind for 6 years, that it's a real struggle for me when we're appropriating nearly $2 million to him and I don't have patrol. We don't have patrol. It's tough. So, you know, you're not blindsided about, what are you talking about? Where did this come from?
Yeah.
I think that was probably a shortcoming of the last board, that we didn't communicate like that. And I just did stuff because they didn't seem to care. They didn't seem to want to know. I want to tell you if you want to know, but I'm not going to force you.
I want to know.
I think it's imperative that all three of us, we may not agree, but at least we're reading from the same text to make our own decision. And I, like I said, you know, going back to the family thing, many times I saw it happen. I go, whoa, you're pretty slick.
Yeah.
Went to mom in India.
Yeah.
Because my meatloaf was cold last night, so I know things that something's up.
Yeah.
But that's how I think we need to do more communication rather than less. If there's something that's been bothering you, then you know what? It should bother us too.
Being, I think, on time is key. I will work on that for sure, 100%. We'll put some time on the schedule that I can just do some emails. I'm not sure when that's going to be, but we'll figure
it out. It's part of why I've been here past 7 most nights, because I'm returning phone calls and emails.
When I first started, I lived here.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have a blanket and a pillow, I understand.
You can't do more time than what I
have.
We all
have is a fireplace.
Yeah, right.
Anyway. So, I agree. But they're right now for me, because I'm not a communications expert.
Yeah.
And I get it. Well, I sent you an email, and I said, well, why didn't you text me? And then the next time you go, well, I texted you. So I'm looking at my email to respond to something. Yeah. Oh, no, I sent you a voicemail.
Yeah.
And it's voicemail, email, snail mail, memo, interoffice memos. And, you know, I mean, there's just so many. How many of these things do I have to go through daily? I get every one of them. If I'm not going to miss any correspondence, and it depends on who's sending it as to what mode they use. Some people prefer text. That's okay, fine. So I get the text back. Then it says, out of the clear blue sky, it says, well, did you get that email and say it? No. Well, I sent you one this morning. Okay, so I'm back to email again. That's pretty tough. I'm clumsy at it. You guys are just great at it. You can work the thumbs faster than anybody I've ever seen. I'm impressed. But I just think that it's the perception side of it. You're sitting out there and you're giving up your time. And I'll say this, because it doesn't mean much to people that are 35 and 40 years old. But when you're 67,
yeah,
and you look at how much more time you have, when I waste a half an hour, that might be, I may only have an hour and a half left. I've had three good friends die in the last couple of days. And I thought every one of them was going to live on forever.
Yeah.
I thought, gosh, the last half hour, and they only had an hour left to go. How would you spend that last half hour? You sure as heck wouldn't be doing something that you know, you're going to waste your time on. So just, you know, keep in mind that time is so very much important. And the older you get, the more important that time gets. And I try not to waste it.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not very successful at trying not to waste it.
So I'm going to draft a letter on behalf of the board for you guys to review, petitioning our delegation to launch some sort of an inquiry or an investigation into these rates. We also need to do a letter on Senate Bill 3, which is a moratorium on suction dredge, mechanical dredge mining. It didn't make it out of the AOC committee correctly, and so it wasn't moved forward in their slate of positions, but I think Josephine County is pretty pivotal in that piece of legislation. It might be a different one, but there's a proposed designation of wild and scenic by the state, which is interesting. It's a federally controlled, because it's the state controls all, yeah, but it's just different. So they're looking to designate it from Rogue River, Gold Hill, to Grants Pass as a recreational support of Alan Bates. And so,
why would you stop there? Where does it go now?
It stops at the confluence of the Applegate and the Rogue. And there was a federal proposal. It's in the resource management plan adopted by the BLM as a congressional action to have the designation go from including Lost Creek Dam all the way to the Applegate. This is different. I don't know what they're just doing a smaller section of it, and I don't understand all of it. I can get more information on it. But Herman, Senator Bertschinger's office, told me about it yesterday. So I think we should probably reference the non-binding question that the board submitted last year to the voters that was resoundingly no. Reference that question and refer it to the state. So I'll work on that letter as well.
Yeah, because they're just going to continue on until they have control over all of it and then shut it out.
Yeah, there's not much that would be wild and scenic about that section, and we have that information.
How does Hell's Gate, do they have to pay a fee to go past the mouth of the Applegate?
I don't know. I would imagine there's some sort of permit. I would imagine, but I don't know. I think you've been in contact with a person by the name of Wicks. I may have referred that letter to you. I can. He's a constituent who's purchased a lot of permits through Public Works in the last year, and kind of a challenge to develop a piece of property, I think, on the Applegate. I can get you his petition. He wants to sit down, I think, with the board and go over the fees that he's been charged. And I think there could be room for a discussion there. So he came before the, maybe not the full board, maybe just Keith and I. I don't remember. And Rob, about the delays and the challenges that he's incurred in the last
year. And he's on the Applegate.
I believe he's on the Applegate. Yeah.
I've heard that from other sources where you get the permit, there's delays, and then they say it expires, you have to reapply, and now the price has gone up, and it's the same thing that you did back here, but because of, and it's almost that we're costing people more money, mm-hmm. is the insinuation. I don't know that that's true, so I would want to make sure that we're...
Yeah. We need to have a review of what our, you know, what our processes take, like we were talking earlier, you know, on just the simple of the road plugs. You know, it goes to public works, and that goes through the rest of it quick, and then it gets to legal, and then after then that's where it gets stalled, because it's down here on the pecking order. I mean, you know, road plug is not their funny class. Maybe we need to look at, then why does legal need to look at a road plug application?
I'm going to be naive. What is a road plug?
It's a... I got you.
Yeah?
All right. Now, a road plug is, what I understand is, like, if you get to the end of a road, and is the road going to go on any farther?
Okay.
And there's a possibility of you put a plug on the end of it, I guess. So you say, well, you can't go past that. You're going to have to come off the side. And it's ingress, egress. And you have to have those lifted in order to say, well, no, you know, you've got a different way of getting into the end of that road rather than if you bought land past here, how are you going to get to that land? You can't just go off the end of it because that at some point in time could be a county road. That's why it needs to go through public works. And then it's just a restriction on ingress, egress is what I'm guessing from it. And you have to have that lifted. And I, like I said, it gets to Wally and to Wally's office and all of a sudden it's been there a while. Because he's plenty busy, and we were just talking earlier, maybe legal doesn't need to be part of our process. Maybe planning could make that determination or public works or something to speed that up. Because this guy here is on his second go-around with, he has state fees of $6,750 over a year ago to start his business. He paid the state fee because he's a grower. He's going to be a grower. Well, now he's having to pay it again, and he still doesn't have an address because he can't get the road plug removed. And if he doesn't have an address, he can't get a meter from PP&L, so his whole operation stops. And now you have to pay another $667.50 to the state and all the other stuff, and we're just kind of getting in the way, I think. So that's what we discussed a little bit. And maybe that's along that line. Maybe we should look at planning and building things.
Yeah, I haven't seen this before. I don't, and in looking at it, it doesn't really clear anything up for me as far as the day of term and all that other kind of stuff. I don't know what this is.
It's just an explanation on the second page. It really references the authority of a liaison to sign amendments on behalf of the board to contract. There's also a $50,000. There's a policy that the that the liaison and the manager can sign contracts up to $50,000 that are budgeted, so that they don't have to necessarily be brought before the board. Budgeted contracts under 25 can be signed by the manager.
Do we require ratification?
No.
Because I know we, Rob and I talked about the, we discussed the removal of the landslide out at Galeef. And he called me on the phone and he said, I can't get to that for probably 4 to 6 weeks. You know, I've got enough in my signing authority and do you that we could get Rob Coe or somebody out there to do it.
It's a non-budgeted item. We didn't anticipate the landslide,
right.
So it wouldn't qualify. It needed to come before the court. Now, an amendment to a contract that we had with Rob Coe to remove it does qualify. Well,
okay,
that wasn't
that
budgeted either.
That should have come before the board for approval?
Probably.
And that's just basically it. If it's creating a new position or eliminating a position.
No, positions require the board.
That's what I'm trying to, and if it's not budgeted, they have to come to the board.
Yeah, creating or eliminating, changing a job description requires it to come to the board. A contract with somebody, a Rob Coe, that wasn't in the budget. Morning, Mark. It wasn't in the budget. It needs to come to the board. If it's in the budget, under $50,000, then you can do it, you and the manager. If it's under $25,000, the manager can do it. Oh, no. Isn't it $25,000?
It's a 10 for just the manager alone.
No, it's changed over time. 10 and 50?
Yeah.
10 and 50.
Should we, because Rob said, no, that's within my signing authority and
clarify that with the managers?
And yeah, I think we probably should clarify with the managers if it's not budgeted, the distinction between budgeted and not budgeted, and when the board's approval needs to.
You know, I say it's not budgeted because we didn't anticipate it, but if he had a line item in his budget unanticipated, you know, road slides, maybe that's where he's bringing it from.
Maybe that's where he's bringing it from, yeah.
How do we not anticipate Glaze having a road slide every year?
It hasn't had one every year. We've only had one out of six of the years that I've been here, but of a substantial nature that we didn't handle it in-house. We had to hire somebody because it was, you know, 150,000 cubic yards or something like that. So it doesn't happen every year, but it probably will for a while now because it's getting steep.
Well, I think it was the timing of this one, too, because there was other things going on that that Public Works was taking care of. And he said, I'd love to get down there. Put all of our resources on and just get it out of the way. If that was the only thing there, they could do it in-house. He said, I'm not going to be able to get there in a reasonable amount of time.
Right.
We farmed that out. And I thought, you will find me ready to farm out just about anything at any time, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, there's we could get plenty of bids overnight. It's not like we're...
Yeah.
We only have two people in town, and they're both stocked up. We've got a number of people on our bidders list that can handle that job. And that's one that got taken care of right away. And
yeah. Great.
So getting back to this, I think reading this memo back in 2005 is
pretty irrelevant to me.
It is, but I like that it says, to keep the whole board informed, your liaison will be responsible to update the other two commissioners once a week about activities in the department. And I'm wondering if kind of our means around that, we brought up briefly last week or the week before, maybe having a staff meeting towards the beginning of the week, and just to check in, what do you got this week? One thing that I realized is, I didn't realize JRI starts in the morning on Thursday. Well, county college doesn't start till 1. Potentially, I could go up Wednesday night and attend JRI in the morning until noon and then go over to County College. That's something that I would want to make sure I touch base with everybody and see if that okay. Because
driving up that morning, I know I've got a room scheduled which we need to cancel because I was being asked to testify for House Natural Resources Committee on the land transfer bill. There was some confusion about the language of the lands that were being transferred, and so we have to get that's been pulled. So I'm not needed to be there Thursday morning. So that would have worked out really well for you to attend while I'm testifying, and then we could, you know, you go to County College and I'll come back. The beginning of the schedule, having the governor speak and some other things, I'm going to get there right around as early as I can, probably. A little before 10, but I was going to leave that morning.
Okay.
But if you felt it important to be there for the beginning, then go up and get a room. I think if getting a room is a little challenging.
I think getting a room would be challenging. I can stay with my sister. It's 45 minutes away. That's what I did this weekend.
And that's what I would do. That way you can be there right on time.
Yeah. I can also call and see if my Thursday reservation is able to be extended to Wednesday night.
I understand that. Challenge I had.
Okay.
The room that I got was not.
Well, I'll leave until Thursday morning and I'll be there without you.
That'll work.
Perfect.
but I still think that us kind of being intentional, and that's part of it, is us not individually just kind of all surviving and going our different routes, but checking in, having those conversations, getting those updates going. Maybe, you know, I'd be interested in, even if it's our general discussion Tuesday mornings, that's what we are doing, but having that kind of like a staff meeting, okay, what do you got in your schedule this week? What do we got going on? Do you have any committees this week that you're going to?
Yeah.
I'm interested in that level of communication, because otherwise, how do we function efficiently when we're not communicating?
I think the Thursday meeting, typically the admin meeting, would be what I would suggest, but we could do it at any other meeting you wanted. One of the reasons I thought of moving executive session to earlier in the week is that would free up the second half of the Thursday administrative meeting, the workshop of the week, so that, you know, Wendy would do her report up at the board's office. We would talk about the calendars for the next week, you know.
Are all of our county colleges starting on Thursday through Saturday? Are they all scheduled that way?
No. And
because we're talking about Thursday, there's 10 of those.
There isn't one in March. In April, it's a Friday, Saturday. In May, it's a Friday, Saturday.
Okay, so Thursday pretty open.
It moves.
June, it's a Friday, Saturday.
So that's kind of the schedule after the beginning. You're just in the
baptism
by fire element, and then it gets to more.
September goes back to Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then that's it. So
I just wondered, I didn't want to, if we're going to schedule.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to work on my phone to do that. I didn't need to be rude.
Yeah. I think Thursday makes sense.
Hey, I don't need to look at the phone while you look at me while you're doing
it. That you're doing it ahead of the week that you're going to go into.
Well, and for, okay. Maybe we just be intentional. Thursday's fine, but if things don't change, for instance, yesterday.
Things always change.
Exactly. So when things change, so is there an opportunity for a Monday or Tuesday update if things change for the week? We're not here this Thursday, any of us. So having that discussion.
We'll do it tomorrow afternoon at our admin meeting. We'll always have an admin workshop, most often, because we have to do that to set the weekly business session agenda. So, let's just try to do it more often.
Right now, I know I've had people ask me, well, what are your meetings? But I said, so far, none of it's been consistent. I can't count on Tuesday morning being a discussion, general discussion. I can't count on it because sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. So that's where I'm, we'll get it all leveled out. I'm assuming that the lake will settle down eventually.
Maybe.
Or not.
And then I leave next Friday for D.C. for a week, so you can be on your own.
You leave the 24th?
I leave the 24th, and I come back Wednesday the 1st. So I'll be here on the 2nd for the admin workshop.
We won't even have noticed you're gone. Just kidding.
It is a very quick trip.
We're not allowed to schedule anything that Wednesday the 1st at the weekly business session.
Schedule everything.
What do we want to get past while he's gone?
Yeah.
Just kidding. Okay, so I think what I would ask of you, Simon, since you have been doing this for 6 years, tell me about your philosophy about department liaisons, as far as what do you see your role as a liaison to the department, your interaction, what is the function of the BCC in that role that you see that we should be fulfilling?
So it really changes with every single department. You guys have some pretty big ones with the sheriff and juvenile and the DA and some others. You're the first point of contact. So if one of those people has an issue, they need to come to you first and say, this is what I would do, but I think this raises to a level of a policy decision that the board needs to make. Or, no, go do that. That's what we need to do. You're kind of carrying the direction of the board, so our goals are really important. Making sure that they're on budget, I think that's a huge one, is that you're the first point of contact. If we come in here mid-year and, the sheriff is burned through his overtime, it's his fault and it's your fault as the liaison. That's your job, is to follow those things and bring us up to speed, not when it's a problem, but before it's a problem and say, hey, this is beginning to be an issue. We need to talk about it. The park having that issue with an affair of marijuana-focused events, that's something that we really need to get out in front of and have a policy discussion and executive session and chart that course. But in the meantime, I'm working with Sarah on what are you telling these people in the meantime? What's the direction that we're likely to go? There's responsibilities of a manager, the people that we hire, and then there's things that are our stuff that they're not getting paid to have the responsibility of making some of those decisions. And so we're not either, but that's our job. So and then bringing those issues back to the board. I don't want to be not bored, but I don't want to be the day-to-day operations of the fair. That's not what I'm charged with. That's your job.
Mm-hmm.
Managing the advisory committee. You make a recommendation on what we should do, most of the time. Sounds good. That's your job. You should know it intimately. If I ask a question, you ought to know. That's what I say. is the responsibility. Making a recommendation to change the Parks Advisory Board from 9 to 7, I would expect that that's just something you guys are going to endorse. Why are we going to do that? I can tell you. I can write you a 4-page dissertation on why that's necessary. I don't know that that's an effective use of all of our time to find out exactly what it is. You recommend it? I don't have an objection. Sounds good. Let's do it.
Well, I do like the cover letter from 2005.
The only problem that I had was, you know, job titles and FTEs.
Yeah.
It's not the liaison's responsibility. That's HR's.
Yeah.
That's JJ's. But getting an update on this is well and good in 2005 when we had $51 million in the public safety budget. That is not an effective use of my time to liaison with you guys to the nth degree on these things every week. I got just this morning 2 letters I need to write. I needed a quote for a press release that the ONC did yesterday. I didn't get to it on the expansion. We're litigating on the expansion. The ONC is litigating. I think I told you that last week. We finally settled on. We're petitioning the administration for a decision on that expansion of the Siskiyou Crest National Monument that includes ONC land. There's just too much for, you know, stuff to miss. So, but I do want to, you know, stuff that is important. I think you need to know, like that. That's what I think we should talk about. So.
Do we have a policy as far as a guiding document for the BCC on liaison roles?
No, not really.
Okay.
There hasn't been anything consistent. And you guys are chief executives. It's really tough to guide commissioners on what's going to work for them and what's not. Really, the best version is a team that works together and has an understanding. This letter means nothing. It's not a resolution. It doesn't mean anything. I'm not even sure why they signed it, because it really doesn't mean anything. The order, yeah, that's a rule. You actually have to amend it, pull it, whatever. That means something. We could draft something that's a clarifying document. Wally and I have talked about for 5 years about a guiding an ordinance that talks about, you know, not when things are good, but we have no guiding law about when things are bad. When you have a commissioner who doesn't show up, you don't have to show up. After you get sworn in, you never have to come to work. You don't have to do anything. And there is nothing the board can do to change that without an ordinance. We could do administrative action, you know, but there's supposed to be fairly weak, you know. There should be something that when you come into this job, these are rules. You show up, you do your job, yeah, you get paid at the end of the day. But for 6 months, the citizens can't even recall you. And we had a commissioner that was shredding boxes and boxes, barrels and barrels of stuff after she had unofficially been let go. And
was private during the when you're applying for this job. If I'm going to be a real estate broker, there's a background check involved. There's no background checks involved. If you throw your name in the hat and put $50 down there at the clerk's office, guess what? You're in.
Yeah.
And there's no background check whatsoever to see that you're not public enemy number one from Topeka, Kansas or something. You know what? You know what? Where'd you come from?
Yeah.
What do you stand for? You know, I was really surprised by that. There was absolutely no background check. I don't know the legality of it. I don't know if you can legally do that or not, because that would be limiting people from applying for office, I think.
It would be a charter change, of which there's also a discussion about. We can't change the charter because of our charter. So, but who is eligible to run is in our charter. And so if the citizens initiated something that said, we want the commissioners to have a equivalency of a 4-year degree in, you know, after physics. I'm just pulling a random one out because none of us have that. And it must be that you have had no felonies or misdemeanors above blah and such, and this, it would be in the charter that you would change that, and the people would have to vote on it. So the authority is in the charter.
I can see that for, like, for instance, hiring a city manager or assistant city manager or something along that line. You have qualifications, but I don't know if you're an elected official, you know, if you could put that on. But I'm just looking at criminal stuff like that, probably.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at. I'm not necessarily education, because I don't qualify.
You do.
No,
you do.
If I had not for physics, if my astrophysics, I wouldn't have it. But
well, none of us qualify for that, but it's still, that's why I was thinking something that was random, but it is one of those things that it's defined in our charter what the qualifications are for that position, and I believe it would take...
We've also had some, you know, we're getting, I mean, are we documenting people that requested to take a look at the charter? We had one the other night, too, is, you know, that, gee, the charter this, the charter that. You're not following your own charter and so on and so forth. Are we at a point in time where we need to start looking at the charter and starting a conversation about updating it? Or
we are not in a role that we can do that.
Okay.
But, hello, sir.
It's something we could work jointly with legal counsel.
Yeah, I think so.
Come on in, gentlemen.
I think that it would be good to have legal do that.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll put the chair in here to make sure we're going to have six guests.
So let's kind of go to an informal time in this meeting if you guys are kind of at a stopping point, use the restroom and what have you.
Okay.
I think that makes a lot of sense. So.
Okay.
Do we have a separate meeting? No, we have a separate meeting.
Yes,
a
separate
time. So we are adjourned.
Okay. How big a fish has caught the center in the sea. Kind of like an iceberg. You only see a portion of the center of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And off to that point, she's caught.